Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And it is Sunday, June 6th at 4:38 p.m. Texas time, as all of my wife's coworkers who work in Texas like to say. So there you go.
Yep. Hey, I mean, your wife's coworkers. I mean, your co-host on this podcast.
Yep. Yep.
Texas time is where it's at.
Okay. I've never heard it referred to that way, but
I've never heard of it referred to as that way either. But as a native Texan, I will take that.
I mean, it seems to make, like, when she said that, I'm just like, yeah, that makes sense that they. People in Texas wouldn't consider it to be Central Time. They'd consider it to be Texas time.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, I haven't heard it and nobody down here says that. So let's just hope that we don't say that, because us Texans, we take a lot of pride on a lot of things and a lot of extra stuff. Uh-huh. We're very extra about Texas. So let's just not have this one. Let's keep our other ones.
You can take pride in your time zone if you want. That's fine.
Better than some of the other stuff that some of us Texans take pride in.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah.
I'll say it.
All right, cool. All right. So did you see anything good this week?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm anticipating it being good. The new Sailor Moon movie that dropped on Netflix. But I've been distracted by, as I am every year, by NBA playoff basketball.
Yes.
So that is what I have been watching hardcore this week. I pretty much watch every game. And of course, like all the pre and post game shows, especially the TNT Inside the NBA stuff. It's hilarious as always. And all the games have been interesting. It's been intriguing. The matchups have been. The results have been. This has been a very good first round. And also following along on NBA Twitter right after events occur is always entertaining. So that's what I've been caught up in this week.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I counted just for the sake of whatever. And minimum there's 60 NBA playoff games, and maximum there's like over 100.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Oh well. I haven't been watching much basketball now that the Bulls have been eliminated. I have been watching baseball. I went to the Sox game yesterday when they debuted their Southside jerseys.
We have to talk about, like, I'm loving all of the memes of your boy Tony in these Southside jerseys. They're hilarious.
Yeah, you sent me that picture, which I hadn't seen because I was at the game, but
okay.
I want to know, like, how that, like, did someone knock his hat off to the side? Did he, like, just, like, throw it on his head? Like, or was he literally walking around like that for an extended period of time? I want to know.
I want to know too, but he's quickly becoming the hey there kids meme. He's quickly becoming that. It's amazing.
Yep. I don't understand why they hired him to manage this team, but whatever.
I don't know either.
It seems to be working. They're winning, so that's all that matters.
Yeah. As long as you don't swing on a 3-0 count.
Yes, that would be bad, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, God forbid you hit a home run. That would. Yes. Oh, well, what can you do? But I did watch this new, well, quote-unquote new movie from 1973 called The Amusement Park.
Okay.
It's a movie. So in 1973, the Lutheran Church decided that they wanted to make an educational film about elder abuse.
Okay.
So they hired George Romero, director of Night of the Living Dead, to do this. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Good fit, I guess. I don't know what, but so he went off and he made the movie and brought it back to them, and they were like, this is not what we had in mind at all. And basically, it went unseen for the past, like, 40 years.
Okay.
And then at some like George Romero retrospective or something like that, someone found a print and showed it. And then the family heard about it and they were like, we want to see that. So they sent them the print and a DVD. And I guess like 3 weeks before Romero died, they all sat around and watched it. And, you know, the family was like, how come you never talk about this? What's the deal? And Romero was like, they hired me to do it. I did it in like a week. It meant nothing to me. It was just something that I did for money. And then that was it. And, you know, they watched it with him like 3 weeks before he died. And he was like, yeah, whatever. That was fine. It was weird. A fun time. And and everyone else in the family was like, what are you talking about? This is a masterpiece. Like you did it again, you know, 45 years ago. So after he died, they decided to restore it in 4K and then release it. And they showed it. They had a couple of screenings here and there across the country. And then on Tuesday, so tomorrow, theoretically, if I get this thing edited in time, it will be on Shudder, the horror streaming service.
Okay.
So it's less than an hour long. And I was like, when I heard that story, I'm like, this is going to be insane, right? Like, yeah. you the Lutheran Church hires the creator of zombies to make a movie about elder abuse. Like, this is going to be amazing, you know? And I watched it and I'm like, I mean, there's moments, you know, like there's things where you're like, whoa, I can't believe they did that. All right. But it wasn't like off the wall insane, you know. More than anything else, it's like, well, what if one of these movies that they would show at, you know, like, I don't know, youth groups or something like that, what if one of them was made by like one of the best filmmakers ever? You know, what would that look like? You know, so it's more that. It's not bad at all.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's not something where you're just like, this blew my mind, this changed my, you know, it's not like The Room or anything like that. It's just kind of an okay movie, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's not The Room.
I was hoping that it would be something along those lines, you know, like, I mean, that's I saw it at the Music Box in Chicago, and they kind of have like a staple, like they show The Room like every month and sell out, you know. They show,
wait, Tom, like, wait, did you say that like The Room sells out?
Yes.
And you saw it like in a theater? Was that the first place you saw it?
The Room? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the only place you can, but actually no, it's not the first time I saw it. First time I borrowed my friend's copy because I knew that seeing it in the theater would be a lost cause, right?
Okay.
So I actually sat and watched it at home by myself and was like, this is really bad. And then I went,
yeah.
And then I went to see it in the theater for the whole experience and was like, this is bad, you know. And it was actually a double feature because it was opening night of The Disaster Artist. So they did a double feature of that.
Now, wow.
You know,
I don't know. Like you say, seeing it in the theater is the best possible place to see The Room. I say the best place to watch The Room is like in somebody's like room at a party, like,
yeah.
And there are adult beverages flowing, so you could fully appreciate the hilarity of that awful, awful piece of work.
Oh, there were adult beverages flowing. I mean, when the movie started, the line to the bar was going all the way down the lobby and then turning and literally going down the aisle of the auditorium, you know?
As it should.
But, yeah.
That's the only way you can make it through that thing.
And everyone's throwing their plastic spoons and all that stuff, and
yeah.
It's just like, this is not my scene. Like, I get that people love it. It's not.
Oh, I don't. I like the one time I saw it was that's about as much of that thing I could take.
Yeah. I mean, there's some that they've done. Like, well, they did one called Surfer Teen Confronts Fear, which was made by this guy who, and it's with his son, and it's about like how this kid's dad was a surfer who like was washed out to sea, and then the ghost of the surfer comes back, and he was like made out of like seaweed or something like that. And then there's it just goes on and on and on. There's all sorts of plot twists. It's really, really, really bad. But it's I think funnier than The Room. And then the one that has recently been making the rounds, which you can stream too and everything, is the R-rated gore cut of Tammy and the T-Rex, starring Paul Walker and Denise Richards.
Okay.
Which is, Paul Walker is like a guy who, like, they're in high school, because this is done in like the mid-90s or something. And
excellent.
Paul Walker, like, dies in like a tragic accident, or or maybe there was murder. I don't know. But regardless, a mad scientist takes his brain and puts it in the body of a robotic T-Rex. And like, Denise Richards is like still in love with him and everything. And it just kind of goes from there. And like, they made it back in the 90s, and then they cut it down to a PG-13 just for, you know, whatever, commercial purposes. But it was originally like a hard R with like all sorts of like crazy gore and everything. And now it's been restored to its original glory and everything. And that one's a pretty fun watch, you know.
Interesting.
The amusement park, not really like any of those things, unfortunately.
Okay.
That was the experience I was hoping for, though. So
gotcha.
Whatever. I mean, it's on Shudder. If you have Shudder, watch it. If you don't, it's no big deal.
Okay.
Yeah. So on to the news. Last week, you said that you would watch Jupiter's Legacy.
That is correct.
I hope you enjoyed the experience.
I even bought the graphic novels also, because I was just like, this is like, you know, Miller, apparently not Millar, is onto something. This is an interesting world. But again, like I said last week, it's unfortunate that this kind of came out the same time that we had, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Invincible, and, you know, a whole host of other things. Like, if this would have come out like last year, maybe, like, I think this would have been different. But unfortunately, we are not going to get any more.
No, we're not. But at the same time, it's like one of those things where, I mean, who knows exactly what their plan is. It sounded like they were intending to do more. It sounded like they thought that this was going to take off and just explode. But instead, they're pivoting. And instead of doing a season two, they're doing a season one of another series in the same universe called Super Crooks.
Okay.
Have you read this comic?
I have not.
Okay. This is one that he did with Lino Francis Yu.
Okay.
Who I know that he's a pretty big artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It sounds like it's more of a crime show, so
okay,
slightly different genre. And in Miller's Twitter post, he made it sound like, you know, the hope, I think, is that this franchise on the whole will take off, and eventually they can come back and do a second season of Jupiter's Legacy, but like after some of these other shows are already established.
Interesting. Well, I think it'd be easier and a better move for, you know, to kick off their franchise by, you know, continuing with what we're doing, right? Like, instead of like, all right, we established season one, right? And it sort of ends on a cliffhanger. It leaves you at like, this is not spoilers, but it leaves you, you know, with some questions that you want to see answered, right? And then to not come back with season two to answer those questions, you're going to pivot and do something completely different, and then and if that's good, then you'll do season two. That makes no sense. That's like, if, you know, let's say you end a particular, you know, movie starring Superman, and instead of doing Superman 2 immediately, you do like, well, let's do like him fighting Batman. Like, I mean, let's like, or that was my weekly shot at the DCU.
Yeah, no, but
if, let's say, the MCU, they started with Iron Man, and then they didn't do Iron Man 2 or 3, and they just did like Avengers right after. Like, it's not the right move.
See, I don't think that's the correct correlation there. First off, I think that Batman versus Superman is Man of Steel 2. I think they just chose to call it something different, and that's perfectly fine. But it does seem like a natural extension of that that thing. But
still, a wrong move. That's the main idea.
Well,
here.
I mean, I would disagree with that, but you know, I know I'm in the minority on that one. But with the Marvel thing, like, I was specifically thinking about Iron Man in relation to this, because I mean, what you're saying makes sense. But like, as a viewer, And as someone who, you know, my favorite book on the shelf every, you know, month at the comic book store was the previews catalog, because mm-hmm. comics are always about, like, what's happening next, right?
Yeah.
Like, Iron Man 2 is kind of a disappointment, because Iron Man mm-hmm. comes out, and then you've got, you know, Nick Fury showing up at the end, and you're like, oh my God, part of a much larger world, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And then, I mean, not counting Incredible Hulk, the next thing that you get is Iron Man 2, because mm-hmm. yes, Iron Man was a huge success, and yes, you want to capitalize on it, and you've got everything sort of like built up to do that, but... Like, did anyone going into Iron Man 2 really want to see Iron Man 2, or were they waiting around for, you know, Captain America?
Honestly, I think it was a mixture. It's a mixture of both.
Okay.
And I think in, you know, the thing with Iron Man 2 is like I think part of the reason why it's not as good as Iron Man, the first Iron Man, is because it's trying to serve two masters, yeah. right? It's both trying to be a sequel to Iron Man and also being this cog in this bigger machine, right?
Yeah.
But coming back to like Jupiter's Legacy, I think the issue here though is that like we're not going to be, depending on what Super Crooks is, because I'm not exactly sure how that all ties in, but like if it is not related to any of the characters that we got to see 8, you know, episodes of in Jupiter's Legacy, then that's not doing anything, right? Because like, you know, for example, like, you know, after Iron Man, when Hulk came out, everybody knows that both of those characters share the same universe, right? So that's not a bigger stretch. But Super Crooks, like it's already hard enough to get used to these new characters in Jupiter's Legacy, and then all of a sudden having Super Crooks right after it, it's just like, well, how are they related to any of the characters that we met here? It's like, it's already obscure enough. It's not like I think you could pull some of this off with like the bigger stuff, but not the smaller stuff. Yeah. And I think that's where they're going to lose some people.
That could be. I mean, it sounds like this wasn't their plan to begin with. It sounds like they
agreed.
They had to pivot. I mean, I read somewhere that, you know, the rumor is they spent $200 million making the first season of Jupiter's Legacy.
They did. I think it was like the number was like, what, 215?
That's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot.
Yeah. And I guess if it's not working, if you're not getting the numbers, it makes sense to try something new, right? So
I mean, either that or we just didn't, you know, believe in the vision from the start.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. Anyway, R.I.P. Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah. But I'll let you know how the comics are.
Okay. All right.
When I read them.
Yeah, keep us posted. So last week at the box office was kind of like the resurgence, you know, that was like of movie theaters. That's when mm-hmm. it really felt like we had turned a corner and now movies are back. And the two movies that came out last week to, you know, I guess solidify that were A Quiet Place Part 2 and Cruella.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see either of those movies?
I did not.
Okay.
One of which I do want to see. The yeah. other I have no intention or no interest in seeing at all.
Okay, which one is the one you want to see?
A Quiet Place too.
Okay. All right. I've seen both.
Okay.
I saw A Quiet Place 2 like 15 months ago, right before everything shut down, you know? And then I saw Cruella last week. I would say I liked both of them,
okay.
but I thought that Cruella was the better movie by far.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
It's okay. Weird because nobody really knows what it is or knew what it was until it came out, but it really is like an adult movie, you know, and I'm not saying like it's inappropriate for kids, but I do think that kids would be bored by it, you know?
Okay.
But regardless, both of those movies did their job so well that they are getting sequels.
Okay.
Unlike Jupiter's Legacy. So, A Quiet Place, this had already been announced, but they're doing not a direct sequel, but a spinoff, which takes place in the same world.
Okay.
Which I think is appropriate for that material, because, I mean, it is like a world-changing event, so why not take a look at how it affects
other things? Yeah.
So they've hired the director of Midnight Special and Mud, Jeff Nichols, to direct it. And It is going to come out March 31st, 2023. So just a couple years away. As far as Cruella is concerned, they are also doing a sequel.
Okay, they're doing a sequel to Cruella.
Yep.
All right. I mean, we know that there's already been two sequels to Cruella already, and that have happened already. One of which was an animated movie that kickstarted this entire thing, and the other was a live action version featuring Glenn Close, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's
playing
true.
The titular Cruella, right? And that sequel is called 101 Dalmatians, right?
Sure. But, you know, you could also say that Batman Begins had a sequel already, you know, called Batman 89, right? But they still made The Dark Knight.
That argument you can make, but it is not as solid as saying, like, well, Cruella is a prequel to 101 Dalmatians.
It is, but, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's not a direct prequel. It's not like, you know, you could say, like, let's put in Cruella and then let's put in 101 Dalmatians and it lines up perfectly, you know. Okay. There's a lot of, like, stuff where they take the various elements from, like, the 101 Dalmatians mythology and they remix them into stuff that, you know, works here. And you could say that, you know, it'll line up in some form or another. You know, it's not going to be like a direct, you know, one-to-one, you know, kind of like, I guess a good example would be like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, how that movie ends with like the dude getting on the plane to spread the virus. And you're like, oh, here's where it happens. Here's where, you know, humanity is wiped out and we get the Planet of the Apes that we all know and love from the 60s.
Okay.
But then they did, you know, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and, you know, the War for the Planet of the Apes. And it went in a different direction from those movies entirely.
Okay.
It's kind of like that. You know, it ends at a point where you're like, oh, and now here the thing can kick off. But they could easily do a Dawn of Cruella and a War for Cruella, and it would still work out pretty well, I think. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm excited. They're bringing back the same writer and director. You know, Craig Gillespie's coming back to direct. So I think that could be cool.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of reboots, Seth Rogen is producing an animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie reboot. Okay. This will be the fourth incarnation.
It's been a lot.
Yeah. on the big screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the last animated one was still in the universe of the first three movies.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, I did not even realize that. I saw it. I saw it, and I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Huh. The first animated movie is really good, actually.
Well, yeah, I liked it.
Oh. So, that's what that one is. It takes place in that continuity, so I wonder if this one will do the same.
I think they said it's a reboot.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
But Seth Rogen, he seems cool. I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is one of those where I had, like, just aged out of cartoons, like in that capacity, you know. So, like, my younger cousin watched it, and I sort of was fairly aware of it through him, but I was never like a fan of it.
Gotcha.
But were you a fan?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Still am.
So, how do you feel about Rogan taking over?
He seems like somebody who is a Turtles fan. That would do a good job with this, given, you know, the right people behind him and the right idea for the franchise. I'm curious to see what direction he wants to take with this, because, you know, of all the, you know, the Turtles things that have come out, like I remember like the last live action TV show of them, which happened in the 90s, had them older. And they were like kind of starting to age out of being like they were like late teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. And that show was god awful. And then you had the Michael Bay movies, which are hit or miss depending on your view of both Turtles and, you know, Bay's films. And then with the cartoon series, you're kind of like all over the place. So it kind of depends on what he wants to do. I would like for him to, you know, personally, I would love to see him do. Like have this reboot be in line with the IDW comics because I think those are a good mix of all of the good that Turtles has produced in its own thing. So something along those lines would probably be cool, I think.
It is weird how it's one of those franchises where, like, the origins are so different from the most popular version of the story. But, yeah, I'm sure it'll be more in line with that original cartoon than the original comic. But
yeah, I can guarantee you, though, that these turtles will definitely be smoking weed, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, an animated kids movie? Or I'm assuming it's a kids movie.
I mean, maybe.
Well, maybe it won't be on screen, but maybe it's one of those things that'll be strongly implied.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, in the Nickelodeon cartoon prior to the current one, the current one, I think, is Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I don't like at all, and I hate the design of it. But the one right before that, they implied a lot of the things on that show that went over a lot of people's heads, but for some people, like, I knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious to me. And for most people, they didn't quite catch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. All right. Well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles isn't the only thing getting a reboot or reimagining. Mm-hmm. Master and Commander. For years, people have been asking for another Master and Commander movie, and it's finally happening. It's going to be a prequel. And it's going to be written by Patrick Ness, who wrote the movie A Monster Calls, and then also Chaos Walking, which was really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. Are you a Master and Commander fan?
Yeah, I really like that movie.
Yeah. I never really got it myself.
Okay.
You know? I know people are like, it's Star Trek, but not in space.
But it's Star Trek on the water.
Yeah, yeah. I did, like, there was one time where I got to go to, like, the Dolby Labs in San Francisco, and they like, showed us their, like, theater that they built, like, specifically for listening to, like, movies in Dolby, and they played, like, the opening from Master and Commander, and it was like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. But, yeah, well, how do you feel about it being a prequel?
Well, that's the part I'm kind of like, I'd rather, like, you know, like, I mean, honestly, like, if I would rather, like, there have been, like, a sequel to it, like, you know,
years ago,
yeah, rather than, like, a prequel to, you know, to the events of that movie. But, like, if they make a movie, you know, and have a story that is as good as what they did in that first one, then that's fine.
Isn't it based on, like, a series of books? I mean,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I wonder where the book that they did falls in the continuity of the books.
You know, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sure this will make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, but again, like, I just wish that this would have happened, you know, years ago.
It's kind of surprising. Like, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like everybody wanted it and everything, but they couldn't really justify the cost, you know? And now that, like, it's, you know, because it's 20th Century, formerly 20th Century Fox, which is owned by Disney, it's kind of surprising that they're like, okay, well, now's the time to do it. Like, you would almost think that they would be like, well, let's do it as a show on FX or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess
it could have been their version of Black Sails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, Spider-Verse 2, it's in the works, and in addition to most of the original cast returning, they have added a new cast member. Issa Rae is going to play Jessica Drew, a.k.a. Spider-Woman. It's cool.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, I heard that, like, one of the next ones, that, like, after Spider-Verse 2, they were going to do, like, I think more of a Gwen Stacy centered movie.
Spider-Gwen?
Yeah, but they said that it was going to be about, like, a bunch of the female spider.
The Spider-Woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it makes sense that they're kind of setting that up here too, and, you know, I could see the two of them being, you know, teaming up or whatever for this other movie.
Yeah, I guess, well, if they do a Spider-Woman movie, like, definitely have Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, and then Spider-Girl, which is Peter's daughter in the future.
Okay. Okay.
Who inherits the powers, takes up the mantle.
Cool. Cool. All right. More casting news. Creed 3 has found its antagonist. Jonathan Majors is going to play the other boxer.
Yeah, Clubber Lang Jr.
Do you think that's who it's going to be?
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, this whole franchise is based on legacy. So why not?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. It'd be fine.
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if it were me, maybe I would like vary it up, you know, like have like one movie in between where he's not fighting someone who, you know, Rocky, you know, fought dad previously, or you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the first movie. Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Ricky Conlon and the other people that he beat weren't people that were part of the Rocky franchise, like up to that date. The only link to him was Creed, was Adonis Creed. And then the second one, I mean, I was shocked and impressed and elated that they went straight to Drago.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, I mean, you could have a whole debate over who his most iconic antagonist is, but I mean, and those debates can rage for a long time, but you know, Drago is up there. So that was a good way to do that for that sequel.
Well, also, I mean, Drago with the Creed connection, the fact that he killed
Apollo. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. Was that number four or was that
was four.
Okay. So we're getting
Rocky 3 was Clubber, which is why another reason why I was like, well, yeah, why don't you make this Clubber Lang Jr. or whoever Clubber's kid is, because that also happened in 3.
Yeah, you could do that. And we're getting a Rocky 4 director's cut too.
We are, which I don't. That's something I don't understand, because I think, and this is not just, you know, me and my anti with all these, you know, cuts coming out, but like I honestly think Rocky, like I like the Rocky franchise is like my favorite movie franchise. Yeah. And I love Rocky IV to this day. I've loved it since I first saw it, and I think it's fine the way it is. It was supposed to be this American propaganda against Russia movie, right? Yeah. And it was supposed to be, you know, this embodiment of our patriotism and anti Soviet Russia sentiment in the 80s, and it perfectly does that. It perfectly does that. It says exactly what it has to say. So I'm curious to see what this like what this director's cut is going to accomplish. Because I just don't understand it. And again, like all these things, it's like, of course it has my money. Of course I'm going to see it, but like I don't think it's necessary.
I mean, I definitely think that Rocky IV is a good movie, but I'm always curious to see, like, when a filmmaker is like, it's not exactly the way I wanted it. I think that this might be some, like, George Lucas stuff going on here, where he's like, now that the movie is out, I want to change it a bit. But, you know, it sounds like they're adding a bunch of stuff back in, but then also they're doing other things. I mean, of course, the big thing, which has everyone very upset, is the fact that they're getting rid of Polly's robot.
Yeah, like that doesn't make the movie better. I'm sorry. Happy Birthday Polly is hilarious and amazing. Yeah. And Polly being like, this is my lady. Like him, like the fact that like he, you know, spoilers for a movie that came out in the 80s, but like he changes the voice so it could be like be a woman's voice. Mm-hmm. It's so like it's brilliant. Like, why are we taking that out? Everybody wanted that robot.
I don't know. I guess it's just too goofy for present day.
It's not
just alone.
It's not serious enough to be cinema. We can't have humor in things. An absence of humor is the only thing that'll satisfy the Martys of the world.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Oh well. So John Wick, Chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's well into production. It was actually supposed to come out a couple weeks ago, but obviously that didn't happen. They've added a cast member, Donnie Yen. Who, of course, is in Rogue One and everything like that.
He's the Ip Man, man.
Yeah. The first thing I ever saw him in, I think it was his first American movie, Highlander Endgame.
Okay.
Which is a good movie, despite what people say. Yeah, he's so great. And they say that he's going to play essentially like someone who was sort of like John Wick's contemporary, and the two of them were like friends or something like that back in the day.
All right. Well, Wick, like, they're, like, if there's a situation where Wick beats him, I'm going to be upset. Like, I know it's John Wick. I know it's his franchise. I know it's he's the hero. But, like, come on, y'all. Like, Donnie Yen can't take an L. He's Donnie Yen.
I heard some people speculating that, like, they think that John Wick is going to die and Donnie Yen's going to take over the franchise.
Huh.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either.
And I don't really see the maybe there's going to be a thing where it's like, oh, hey, Donnie Yen, we're buddies. And then Donnie Yen, you know, halfway through the movie is like, not anymore, we're not, you know, and then they fight. But I kind of feel like, you know, just taking it on face value, and it's like, they're going to be teaming up, you know?
Yeah, that's the way to go. Like,
yeah.
Don't mess this up, y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't mess this up.
I don't think they will. I mean, these movies have been pretty good so far.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. All right. So more casting news. David O. Russell is getting ready to make his new movie. Still not sure how that happens these days, but whatever. Taylor Swift is going to be in it.
T-Swift.
Yeah. Good for her, okay. I guess. Or maybe it's not good for her because, I mean, the David O. Russell sets seem to be a little, you know, intense.
Yeah.
You ever see that clip of him? It was like I Heart Huckabees, and it was like him and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
That was crazy. And
that
this guy has always had a reputation. I mean, George Clooney says that he will never work with him again, you know, and everything like that. And it's like, I always found that fascinating how, like, all of these actors, I mean, I get that they would work with him because the movies that he makes are really good, but then they would return, like Mark Wahlberg or Amy Adams or whoever, Christian Bale, like, they all work with him numerous times. And or even, you know, Jennifer Lawrence. And then at some point, it's like they all reach a breaking point and are just like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, like you mentioned Bale. Like, I mean, Bale has, you know, one of the more famous, you know, set meltdowns ever. So I could see that, like, I'd get some popcorn and watch the two of them duke it out. That'd be fun. But, you know, Russell needs to be careful, though, because since he's working with Swift, because her fan base, a lot like some other people's and their, like, celebrities and their fan base, if they get on you, like, they have the potential to, you know, to move mountains, right? We've seen it in several fandoms. Like, we know the Bay Hive is powerful. Swift's fans are powerful. We know Snyder's fans are powerful. And we know, you know, the LeBron and MJ fans are powerful. Like, there's only a handful of people whose fans, like, on the internet and, like, in other places, like, have a significant reach, right? And Taylor Swift is one of those people. So if he messes with her, like, I think it will not end well for him, I think.
Yeah, agreed. Well, we'll see what happens. All right. There was a new trailer this week, which dropped with The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. It was for Reminiscence, which is a new movie, which is going to be from Warner Brothers and on HBO Max as well, I guess, starring Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
And it's directed by Lisa Joy, the co-creator of Westworld.
Yeah.
I think this is her first movie. Did you watch the trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
Reminded me a lot of Inception.
Yes.
Oh, kind of going on the theme of our episode last week, where I was like, we saw these trailers, like, well, these look like things we've seen before, and this is kind of the same deal. The thing that did strike me, though, was that the Ferguson, who's playing opposite of Hugh Jackman in this, Rebecca Ferguson. This is a reunion of sorts, because apparently she and Hugh Jackman like working with each other, because they worked with each other on Greatest Showman.
Oh yeah. I still haven't seen that movie.
I need to check pretty good. It
out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I think it looks really cool. I mean, yeah, it does look a lot like Inception, like even the photography and everything.
Yep.
Like, I was talking to someone and they're like, "So this isn't Nolan?" And
yeah, I'm like, that's the other thing. It looks like a Christopher Nolan movie.
It's not. I'm like, it's not Nolan. It's his sister-in-law though. So that's
there it is. There it
it's
is.
Kind of interesting, but
see,
yeah.
And this is why I don't want to hear, and I tire of hearing things of like, you know, when people talk about like, you know, oh, everything's so formulaic, or, you know, like, you know, superhero movie fatigue. I was just like, are you kidding me? I was like, if the stuff that we're getting looks like other stuff and we have no problem with it, then you need to shut your mouth. Because that's essentially what like this, what we're seeing here. Right. Yeah. It might be, it might not be the, you know, the same song, but it's a different arrangement. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know, let's keep it a buck.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Out of the movies that we have left this summer, I mean, obviously, I'm all into some of these franchises like Black Widow and F9 and stuff like that. But this looks really cool. And I mean, I've really liked Westworld and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have a lot of faith in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we did get not really a trailer, but a little bit of a tease for the new Shazam movie. Was it called Fury of the Gods, I think?
Yeah.
Where we get to see a few glimpses of Shazam's new suit.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about this?
It doesn't have the half shoulder cape, and I'm upset by that because that is the classic look. That's my favorite look for Captain Marvel. And we're not seeing it on screen. And I also kind of liked his costume from the last movie better than this current one. This current one looks too much like a modern day era super suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other one I thought was a little bit better in that regard. But I hate that we're not getting the half shoulder cape. That's the best part.
Yeah. I guess that's what they were doing, right? They were probably trying to modernize the suit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works, like the cheesiness of it works in the first movie because the movie itself, I mean, he's such a kind of like cheesy character in a sense.
Well, yeah, right? Billy Batson is a kid. That's the other part of this. Like, he's a kid. It's Big, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Big before Big, like a kid who becomes like a man superhero, right?
Yeah.
I disagree with the modernization of the suit. Now, granted, it might look better on screen, but from what I've seen, I was like, not really feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll see. But that's not the only DC EU movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash is finally in production.
Yep.
And the director of The Flash posted a little photo of Michael Keaton's bat suit, and it was rather interesting. What did you think about this?
Well, the first thing I thought when I saw it was I just rolled my eyes. Because again, like, I'm gonna keep saying this when it comes to this movie, like, you know, you know, like the headline for this, Michael Keaton batsuit teased in set photo from Flash movie. I was like, is it really the Flash movie, y'all? Again, like, I still can't get over just, you know, like the title and like the things that they're doing here. Like, there's more press and there's more information, more leaks, more photos, more everything about this movie that has to do with Batman than it does, you know, the actual titular character. Now, granted, I'm a Batman fan. He's my favorite character in all of fiction, right? I've loved Batman since I was 2 years old. But, like, for crying out loud, like, this movie is called The Flash, and it's the first time we're going to have a Flash solo film, but it's going to be dominated by at least two people playing Batman, one of which is a lot of people's favorite Batman. It's like, who are they kidding? Like, it's annoying. And I saw this one thing on Twitter. It was just like, you know, the Flash poster might as well look like this. And it was a picture of Batfleck and Keaton and Bale and Adam West, Val Kilmer and George Clooney. It's like all the Batman. And then underneath it said it was like the Flash logo. I was like, yeah, basically. Yeah. It's like it, like, again, like, I feel like Dr. Ian Malcolm every single time I see anything with news about this movie. It's like, is there going to be any Flash in this Flash movie? Mm-hmm. And apparently the answer is no. And it's just annoying me.
I mean, here's the thing, right? If the answer is no, then my response is okay. You know, because the idea that they're even doing this, the idea that they're even like, oh, let's still make this Flash movie with Ezra Miller. That seems like a good idea. It doesn't seem like a good idea, but
no,
you gotta let go. Like title, just
you know, titles are part of the movie, man.
No, just
they're
let
not
go.
Meaningless. They're part of it. It's part of the whole deal. Well, and now maybe the lack of you know, prioritizing and pumping up Ezra Miller is punishment for him choking a fan, because I haven't forgotten about that. Even yeah. And I think they're wanting to make sure that everybody forgot, but yeah. I haven't forgotten. Yeah. So maybe that could be it. But I do think that it's DC and Warner Brothers. It's their you know, break glass in case of emergency thing that they do with everything. And it's like if something's failing, it's like we got to add Batman. And this, they're just doubling down. And it's like, well, if you have actual faith in your characters, you would actually show that by not having to run to the Batman well every single time that you felt that you were in trouble. Now, again, I will happily eat crow if this movie is good. But based on all of the overwhelming evidence of the DCEU and Warner Brothers and their handling of their characters on the big screen for the past at least 10 years, I have faith that, you know, I will not eat crow, and I will continue to say I told you so about this franchise and about, you know, their handlings of these characters.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's a Flash movie, I'm like, that's fine. You know, I don't, but you tell me like Michael Keaton is coming back to play Batman, it's like, I don't care what the movie is. I'm excited about that. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I would rather see Michael Keaton as Batman in any movie than a Flash movie. You know what I mean?
Well, and the thing is, if that's the case, then they shouldn't be making this movie to begin with. They should just be making Batman with Michael Keaton, whether it be, you know, in the Burton universe and like it's just, you know, is in time has moved up, or they're making Batman Beyond. But like this notion was like, oh, well, let's see if this is successful. And if it's successful, then we can move on and do other future things, you know, with him in like, you know, in the future. It's like, no, that's the wrong way of thinking. Like if Michael Keaton is your big draw, then make sure that he is your big draw. Like don't have him in the movie for like 15 minutes and, you know, have him die according to like that blood that's on his on the bat symbol there.
Oh, you think that's what it is? I thought it was him. I figured it was someone else's blood, you know,
Either that or, oh, well, wait, Snyder involved in this? Like is he mercilessly killing people? Burton could be involved because he did the same thing in those movies too. Yeah. But who knows? But like if he's your draw, then you don't need the Flash, right? Like again, they're going out, like, I mean, the bigger question here is like, why are they going out of their way to continue to have a Flash movie if they're not going to promote Ezra? But they're going to promote these Batman instead. If we're having a Flash movie and the Flash, the titular character, is pushed to the background, what's the point?
Well, I mean, what are people going to care more about, to be honest, like in all of this very early press, you know?
Well, that's proving my point. Don't do the movie. Don't call it The Flash if you're going to have a Michael Keaton Batman movie. Just have a Michael Keaton Batman movie.
I think this is going to be very similar to Captain America Civil War, where it's like, yeah.
Well, it won't be similar because it won't be as good.
Well, I guess we'll find out. But, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, for one thing, it is being written by Christina Hodson, who did Birds of Prey and Bumblebee. Okay. So, I mean, right now she's 2 for 2. I have no reason to think that she's not going to make another great movie, right?
We'll see.
So, but I don't know. I mean, it's all just marketing. It's all meaningless, right? I mean, all that matters is what's up on screen, right?
All right. Well, again, I'll eat crow if it's good, but considering the evidence and considering the track record, it's not looking good.
Okay. All right. I have a bit more faith in the DCEU than you do. And
I
don't know.
Yeah, I have zero faith in the DCEU.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I've liked most of the movies they've done. There was a couple which I thought were dumb. I mean, like Aquaman, for example.
Dumber than Suicide Squad.
No, that's true. Yeah. And WW84 was terrible.
Oh, yeah. That was also bad.
But, you know, like out of the stuff that they're coming out with, I mean, you look at like the new Suicide Squad movie. I know you think it looks terrible.
It does.
I think you are crazy. It looks amazing. Yeah. And you know, I mean, I don't know. Like a lot of this stuff, it seems like they have good people involved to take it into a new direction, you know, and everything. And I think that's cool. So, all right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's about it for this week. Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can also find me on the United Federation of Podcasts, talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow, on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. And you can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.